Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
There's a lot to unlock with Coleman. I went back and forth on him watching his tape. There were times I really liked him and other times I was uncertain. I wouldn't call him sudden in his movement. I wouldn't say he's a burner. You know, you'd probably say his play speed is above average, but he's not really a burst or second gear guy. He certainly has good hands. He can make those crowded environment catches. Again, that gets back to the big receivers. I think that his size and his overall traits profile would suggest that he's a boundary X type receiver. I finished my evaluation saying that my sense is there is more to unlock with Coleman, and there's no question there's a looseness within his body that's there to be developed.
Greg Cosell with One Bills Live yesterday, chatting about Keon Coleman, who we said, sometimes I liked him, sometimes I was wanting more. Excited to watch him play. This is one of those ones where I really wish the draft were closer to the season. Or there were, I don't know, loan him to the UFL. Let's watch him.
Ooh, that's an idea. Put all your draft picks in the UFL. That's how you get the UFL going with ratings. Put all the rookies in there.
How about every,
all of them?
How about every NFL player gets $100,000 if you can have a spring game?
Ooh, a spring game.
Let's get stupid. NFL spring games.
NFL spring games.
How many people would go to the stadium to see a Bills spring game next week?
They'd sell it out. Nah. They'd fill it up pretty well.
If we can tailgate.
If you can tailgate, it's blue versus red. I mean, the blue versus red training camp practice at the stadium usually gets like, what, 40,000 people?
Yeah.
And so you want to make it like a real game, right? Because that in college, it's like a real game, right? There's
a
scoreboard.
To a degree. But if you think about it this way, the blue-red scrimmage that happens during training camp is close enough to the season that if you're going to games in the preseason, you might think, like, I don't need to go to the scrimmage. I'm going to be at the stadium in 2 weeks.
Right.
You did a blue and red game next weekend.
Right.
You'd have a different conversation.
You should totally do this. More content for NFL Network, too. It makes business sense.
Look what happened in this spring game. Quintez Cephas caught 4 touchdowns.
Can you imagine the overreaction?
The takes would be amazing.
Like Coleman goes for 200 yards in the spring game, and suddenly his offensive rookie of the year odds shoot up.
And at the same time, we have to say, guys, I don't know if Christian Benford is having a slump this year or what's going on, because he couldn't cover Keon Coleman out there.
Yes, this is such a good idea. They need
spring
to do
game.
It.
Let's do it. Right? Why not?
Yeah.
803-0550. I have trivia based on last night.
Okay, last night as in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yeah.
Instant trivia brought to you by The Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door. Last night was Dallas, Vegas, and Florida, Tampa. Tampa being eliminated.
So here's the trivia. Steven Stamkos.
Uh-huh.
Is 12th all-time in scoring among number one overall picks.
Ooh.
It's the perfect number.
Okay.
11 number one overall picks.
Ahead of Stamkos?
Have more points than Steven Stamkos. Stamkos, 1137.
Wow, okay. All right. Well... Before I get too recent, Josh, we start new and work our way back, or start back and work our way forward?
There's one that popped into my head immediately that's way back, but
go ahead.
Gilbert Perreault, but I don't know if he got up that high.
10th.
Oh. All right.
Okay. How about Mario Lemieux?
Number one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is skipping around a little bit, but Joe Thornton. Not a number one pick?
Hold on, I switched tabs. Now I have to find it. Joe Thornton is not correct.
Really? Was he not a number one pick?
He was a number one pick. Why is he not here?
He's not above Stamkos?
Was he a number two pick?
Maybe.
Where's Thornton?
Where's Jumbo Joe?
Why is he not on this list?
He was selected first overall in 97.
Sorry, he's fourth. Didn't see him.
Okay.
Thank you. That makes way more sense. Like, why isn't he here? Of course he's there.
I'm like, there's no way Stamkos has more than him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thornton, fourth.
Okay, Thornton's fourth. All right. All right. Patrick Kane.
11th.
Ooh, that was close. It was tight there.
He's 150 points ahead of Stamkos.
Okay, he should be fine. Right? Yeah, he should be fine. Okay. So that's 2007 for Kane. So I don't think we want to go any newer than that. We can circle back around if we're running out of guys, but I doubt it. Crosby.
Yes, second.
Ovi.
Third.
Second and third.
You have 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
10 and 11.
Okay. How about Gretzky was not a number one pick. Was he even drafted? There's like a weird thing about him.
Not in the same way.
Okay.
So yeah, he is not on this list.
There was like the WHA nonsense. I don't know. Okay, so not him. How about I've got like Islanders from the 80s in my head.
Ooh,
Brian
Trottier?
I don't think he was number one pick. I think Bossy might have been, but I don't think he played long enough anyway.
Nope.
Okay, so let me get off them.
I'm trying to think that same era, though. Like I'm obviously it's not Pat LaFontaine, but I'm picturing like that kind of.
There are two players on this list that played for the Buffalo Sabres.
Two additional ones. Beyond Perreault. Okay, played for the Sabres. So, I mean, Taylor Hall played for the Sabres, but that's not going to be.
Hall is 25th
in
scoring among number one overall picks.
Dale Hawerchuk.
Number five, correct.
Wow. He was number one?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And this player was selected number one by the Buffalo Sabres. Just made the Hall of Fame. And last summer, watched me hole out an eagle chip from a bunker and gave me a significant number of high fives for it.
Well, now I know. Pierre Turgeon.
Turgeon is correct.
Pierre Turgeon.
Still probably the greatest moment of my athletic life.
Was witnessed by Pierre Turgeon.
Eagling from the bunker on Pierre Turgeon's team in a golf tournament.
Yeah.
You ever been high-fived by a number one overall pick in the NHL? No?
I don't think so.
I can't relate.
Did I ever high-five McDavid and Erie at some point? Does that even count?
You're missing number 6 and 7 and 8.
The middle. All right. There's like a 90s run here, I bet.
You would have watched two of these guys play probably in
definitely. How about Matt Sundin?
Correct. 8th. Yeah.
Steve Yzerman?
No, he was 3rd overall.
Was Sundin was one of the ones I would have seen play?
Yes.
Yeah, because I definitely saw him.
One more you saw play and one more you didn't.
Sundin is on the Leafs teams that I just watch get boat raced by the Sabres all the time. Okay, one more that I have seen and one more that I didn't.
Yep.
Okay.
This guy's team beat the Sabres in the playoffs in a somewhat memorable series.
Did he also play for the Sabres?
No.
Okay, so it's not Eric Staal.
He played for...
Eric Staal was second.
I remember him as playing for one team. I'm sure there was another one in here.
One team.
Okay.
He
played for one franchise.
Is it Sakic?
No.
Okay.
From 1989 till 2010.
Okay.
And then went and played 40 games in Detroit.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay. Mike Modano.
Modano.
Correct. I remember Detroit at the end, yeah. Okay, sure, because he goes, right, the North Stars to the Dallas Stars.
Yep.
Okay. Modano.
And finally, NHL legend.
Is it one of the Hulls?
No.
Is it played, Gordie Howe?
Played Montreal from 71 to 85.
Jean Beliveau.
No, and Rangers in Quebec.
The Pocket Rocket.
Guy Lafleur.
Guy Lafleur. I would have got there eventually.
Those are the 11 number one overall picks with more points than number one overall pick. Steven Stamkos.
Yeah. I just wanted to say the Pocket Rocket. It's a great nickname. Not a lot of old-timers on there.
Well, you know, if you look at that, if you look at that list, here's a fun question. How high will McDavid go?
Oh, how high is he up already? I thought about guessing him, but I figured he can't be that high yet.
He is closing in on 1,000 points. We don't have to play a cliffhanger game. hold on.
Well, he's going to be number one. It's Lemieux. What's Lemieux's number? Because Lemieux missed time, of course, with, stepping away,
Lemieux
cancer.
Lemieux's at 1,723. McDavid has 982.
Oh, he's catching him. Totally.
Yep.
Totally catching him.
Yes, he is. I would agree.
How far back at Gretzky is he? That's probably impossible, right? Gretzky has more assists than anyone else has points, so that feels really tough. Gretzky all-time points, not goals, is 2,857. Yeah, McDavid's not doing that. He'll get Lemieux, though. I bet he'll get Lemieux.
One fun one for you here.
Sticking with the number one picks?
Yeah, sticking with number one picks. Goals.
The lottery, by the way, I believe is a week from tomorrow. Sabres have a 3% chance.
Okay. If we did just goals and not points, Stamkos is seventh. Ovechkin at one.
Yep.
The reason I'm bringing up goals, I'm just looking at Austin Matthews. 368 right now.
Yeah. And still, 24 years old? How old's Austin Matthews? 26. Well, that can bring me to my Let's Get Stupid
trade for Austin Matthews
this morning. You asked, is there a way I could get my Let's Get Stupid to be even stupider? And I believe that I can do. I believe that I can do it.
Okay. What is it? It's going to be.
I was going to throw out the idea of trading for Mitch Marner. I told you earlier, I think Marner will be the guy traded if they trade someone and blow it up. What about trading Matthews?
Like the Leafs are actually going to do that?
He said, make it stupider. Austin Matthews. Demands out of Toronto. He's had enough.
What are they going to do, by the way?
How different is it than when Eichel wanted out? I'm sick of this. It's the same thing every single year.
Sure.
And nothing's changing, so get me out of here. I'm done. He did just re-sign, though. Although Eichel had re-signed.
Yes, that's right. Eichel signed an 8-year deal. I mean, they're not trading Matthews. And it's definitely not his fault. It is a fun question about what the Leafs do. Didn't they just decide they needed to get tougher?
And that's gonna
they're going to get walked in five?
Yes. They signed Ryan Reeves, and Jake McCabe and Ilya Lyubushkin. Like, these are moves they made to get tougher. Tyler Bertuzzi, Max Domi, like, this is what they've done. And it's not working at all. They can't play a lot of these guys in important situations. Moore's now being asked of their top guys, and their top guys, they're getting beat by the other team's top guys.
Yeah.
So, what do they do? It's funny to look at their cap page, and, Matthews, $13.25 million next year, full no-movement clause. Tavares, one more year at $11 million, full no-movement clause. Marner, one more year at $10.9 million. Nylander just re-signed. He's not even into the first year yet of an $11.5 million extension. Marner, though, has got 1 year left. What do they do? I mean, I think they're going to trade Marner and say, we're going to go into the future building around Matthews and Nylander. And maybe Morgan Riley, if you want to throw him on top, because he signed until eternity also. But Marner's the one both of them are yelling at on the bench the other night. And he's the one that gets criticized for you don't show up in the playoffs. He's a 90-point player in the regular season consistently, and then he gets to the playoffs, and for his career, he's well below a point per game. Because he plays Boston, sure. But his production goes down more than the other guys do. So who's going to get blamed then? He is. So I think, I'm not saying they should trade Marner, but I bet you, if there is going to be a reaction to all of their first-round exits, it's going to be the guy that's got 1 year left in his contract. How does it sound if instead they gave him 8 years, $13 million a year? They do that instead.
For Matthews?
For Marner.
Marner.
For Marner. Instead of trading him, they extend him. I mean, I don't know. They're fans to think about, too, a little bit, I guess. I mean, they'll probably show up no matter what. It's Toronto. So it's tough. I don't know what you do. Eventually, it feels like you got to do something. You can't just wait around for the NHL to change its playoff format. Because what if that never happens?
No,
you're just going to lose to Boston and Tampa for eternity?
Yeah, you could be the team, of course, that wins in that playoff matchup.
But they never do.
No.
And they've had enough tries at it. They've been as good as Boston. They've been as good as Tampa. So they've dropped the ball. It's a tough matchup, but eventually you would have had to beat those teams anyway, and you're 1-9. I don't know. I don't know what you do. I want to believe that you should never do something because your team's great and you shouldn't overreact to losing to great teams in the playoffs, but they're also, man, I just feel like there's a line at some point. Like, I just can't do this forever and never try something different. And they're at forever right now. It's 8 years of this. Like, it's not like it's year three. It's eight.
While we're on hockey, did you see what happened in Nashville the other night?
I saw that the Canucks came back on them, right?
That's right.
With their third string goaltender?
That's right. That's not the only thing that happened.
What else happened?
There was a Tim McGraw concert.
Okay.
And at the Tim McGraw concert,
yeah,
they brought out the Stanley Cup. The Stanley Cup was a guest at a Tim McGraw concert in Nashville.
Like last week?
4 days ago.
4 days ago?
4 days ago.
That seems like bad luck.
Yes!
Yeah.
I'm not one at all to care about voodoo and don't touch the trophy when you win the East or win the West. But
yeah,
Nashville, look at this video. They put it right up on the stage. And here's
there's Tim McGraw.
He says, I'm not supposed to touch it. And I don't think he touches it.
Yeah.
He looks inside it. But there's the Stanley Cup at a Nashville Tim McGraw concert. And then a few days later, they blow an epic lead at home and trail 3-1 in a series.
Uh-huh.
Miss an empty netter.
Yes.
Off the post.
Yeah. Is that bad? I mean, they don't touch it.
Who called who?
I thought you were about to tell me, like, Roman Josi brought the cup out because they won it like 5 years ago. They still feel like they have claim to it.
They didn't win it.
Oh, yeah, they did.
They lost
to
Pittsburg.
That's right. Never mind. Totally admitted that.
He would not even be allowed to bring that out, right? The cups.
Oh, no.
There's the guy with the gloves. He's the cup handler. I forget what his name is. Bill something. Bill Johnson?
It sounds right.
Josh will find this super fast.
The cup handler.
The cup handler.
He's got the long blonde flow.
Phil Pritchard.
Okay, not Bill Johnson. Your Bills, your Phils. So Phil Pritchard brings it out.
Yeah.
Who called who? Did the league call Tim McGraw? Why is it in Nashville? Why is the cup just...
That's another good question.
Nashville's not exactly... It's not a layover city. Why is the cup just hanging out in Nashville?
Well, Nashville's a good place to be. Do you want to just hang out there? Maybe Phil Pritchard wanted to be in Nashville.
He was at
the Tim McGraw concert.
And he has to bring it with him?
Yeah, isn't that his thing? Wherever he goes, the cup goes.
Does it just hang out at his house?
So is he the bad luck curse?
No, because he goes wherever he wants.
He always has it. He brought it here once upon a time. I have a picture standing next to it. They brought it. Or is that there's different cups, though?
There's a presentation cup and a touring cup and a hall cup. Are there three?
So what is this one?
That must be the touring cup.
This is the touring cup, not the real cup?
I guess it could be the presentation cup.
Uh-huh. Whatever. It's all under the same umbrella. It's the cup. So
they brought the cup out on stage, and Tim McGraw says something special we want to bring out for you.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, Phil Pritchard is the keeper of the cup. What if he wants to go to the Tim McGraw concert?
He has to bring it with him.
Or what? Does he have to hire a babysitter?
What if he wants to go out on a boat?
You got to bring
the friends.
Cup.
He's got to bring the cup with him.
You got to bring the unless you again. You can hire a babysitter if you
all,
want.
All of a sudden,
is there a second person to do this?
It sounds like he has a terrible job now. Everywhere he goes, he's got to lug around
take
this
that job
to carry it everywhere.
You get paid. You can do whatever you want. You just have to keep the
cup.
What
do I do with it? If I go to a gym?
You got to
lug it from one machine to the next. They're coming in the sauna with me.
That might help you out with the workout.
True.
I think that thing's heavy.
I'm pretty sure there's like four keepers of the cup, but he's like the
famous one.
I think he's like the lead.
He's like the lead singer in the band, and everybody else gets overlooked. Wow, you gotta wonder how they feel about that. How come Phil gets the spotlight all the time? Right. Phil doesn't even like Tim McGraw. I would have brought it up for Tim McGraw. I love Tim McGraw.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That is strange though. Like, what if in 2006 you went to a concert at the arena while the Sabres were out of town
and they brought
the cup out? Like, what? I'd be like, get that out of here.
Yeah.
You're messing with, because right, isn't that the arena? That
McGraw, yes. Yes.
Yeah. You can't do that. You can't do that. That's bad. That's bad. Bad voodoo. You can't do that. That's not good. I'd be mad. If I was at a concert in 06 and the Goo Goo Dolls brought the cup out at KeyBank Center, or then HSBC Arena, I'd be like, no, this shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, I would feel uncomfortable.
I would feel like we're beginning a curse. The other thing that happened at the Nashville game was they are now, I guess, making it a tradition, the whole chugging of the beer, but out of the catfish. Did you see that happen again?
I have not seen, and I did not know that we are now drinking beer out of a catfish.
This is multiple times now that I've seen this happen at Predators games, where, hey, celebrity blank is here tonight, and there they are on the screen dumping a beer in a catfish and then turning the catfish upside down.
I've got questions. Have we inserted some sort of sleeve into the catfish? You're not just drinking beer out of the gut of a catfish. We're putting some sort of baggy, something is going in that catfish. You're not drinking. Where does it go? You pour a beer in the mouth of a catfish. Where does it go? Does it come out the gills?
Yeah. If you
watch, how does it stay in a catfish?
If you watch the video, basically no beer comes out when
there isn't a lot of beer that comes out. That's true. There's not much. Now, it's not really even a chug.
I don't know the anatomy of a catfish that it would even come out the gills to begin with. But the point is, it just stays in the catfish. In what? The stomach?
Will you tell me
we're now drinking beer out of a dead catfish's stomach?
This is what the appearance of what was happening is. Yes.
There must be a sleeve.
Are you sure?
I'm saying there must be a sleeve.
You're sure.
Who's the celebrity that did it?
It was...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds?
Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hold on. I believe it was probably a country music star, wasn't it? Of some sort.
They just go to I think I'd have to listen to a bar around the corner and be like, hey, you're the celebrity of the night. Come drink beer out of a catfish.
Yeah, I think I'd have to listen to the audio to figure out who it is. It's a woman. The last time it happened, it was Taylor Lewan, who then played for the Titans. Singer Allie Walker is the person who did this. Allie Walker. Yeah.
Okay.
They should not keep this going, though. It's a very weird, weird tradition if they're going to do it.
803-0550. When we get back, Bill Belichick said something that is going to make a lot of football people have to question their reality in a way.
An unemployed coach out here?
Unemployed coach.
Interesting. All right.
Said something about the league that has people's dander up, this thing he commented on. We'll get to that coming up.
So I said, okay, hung up the phone. This is like 11:30 at night, right after the first day of the draft. I call up Randy, said, hey, Randy, this is Coach Belichick. Boom. Hangs up the phone.
What?
Let me try this again. Randy, it's Coach Belichick. Who is this? Who's pranking me? Who is this? Bam. Hangs up the phone. Randy, this is Coach Belichick. We traded for you. What? Is this a joke? This better not be a joke. Who is this? No. This is... All right. Really? I said, yeah, but look, we got to get this done by tomorrow at noon. He goes, all right, what do I need to do? I said, you need to come up, take a physical, and we need to renegotiate your contract. It was by noon? Said, yeah. I was, well, I'm in Houston now, but I got a plane. I'll be there.
Bill Belichick. Look at him. Listen to him. Invigorated.
Right?
He's
got some pep in his step.
That's the story of the Randy Moss trade. He's going to be on the Brady roast. But here's the thing he said that really is going to make people in the football world have to question everything. So, the hip drop tackle has been made illegal.
Yep.
And when that happens, when that did happen, you got a lot of people like, what is this, flag football? How are we supposed to play? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's all... Oh, it's J.J. Watt. Just put flags on everybody. Mark Schlereth. The millennials want to kill our game. Blah. Bill Belichick. It's good they got rid of the hip drop tackle. There's no place for it.
Mm-hmm.
In a conversation with Roger Goodell, Belichick said he was glad. When you see that play is greater than 20 times the injury rate, and most of those injuries are pretty severe, they're career-ending or season-ending, you've got to make the change. That's from Goodell.
Yep.
And Belichick, it's definitely helped the game be safer. They lost Ramondre Stevenson to a hip drop tackle last year. Belichick says he's glad it's gone. One other thing about the hip drop tackle being illegal. Someone asked me, could they have drafted Coleman and want to go big, bully receivers, Kincaid at tight end, Coleman, Cephas, maybe want to do that because hip drop tackles are illegal and it's harder to tackle those guys now. And I don't think that's likely because the NFL in making the argument that they needed to get rid of it, said it happens once a game.
Yeah.
It's not like the normal way to tackle a big receiver has been made illegal. Once a game this happens, and now it'll be a 15-yard penalty.
So not a big deal.
Not a big deal, and not a reason to draft a receiver with that skill set.
Yeah, I didn't think the hip drop, or I didn't even really think returning was like – worthy of, well, I need to make this a serious deciding factor in who I pick coming up. Neither one of them. Like, you'll get more returns, obviously, than you'll get hip drop tackles, being a big difference. But neither one of them. I thought, the idea that they would draft, like, Xavier Worthy because of the return ability. Jamal Agnew is a player that I talked about earlier in the offseason that has been like a really good returner, like one of the best returners in football for 3 years, and he's still sitting out there right now that you can just have for free. So there's going to be more returns, but how much do I have to invest in it? Like, I'm not making draft decisions based on it personally. And I'm certainly not doing that with the hip drop tackle.
Dan in Youngstown. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, a couple points. One, I think earlier in the day you guys talked about the Bills falling behind the NFL in terms of how offenses are evolving.
We had somebody call and say that. I'm not sure if we made the case that they were falling behind.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I just don't know if the Bills just have a different philosophy on how to attack the too high shell. So KC's going a different route. They bring in two very fast guys in Worthy and Brown. But the Bills, I think, with Kincaid and Coleman are just going about it in a different way. I mean, Coleman and Kincaid are different players, but I do think they share some similarities in their game. Both can operate from the slot and are kind of – I don't want to call Coleman a possession receiver, but I think that is a part of his game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, they just have – I think both Bean and particularly McDermott have acknowledged that defenses are changing in the NFL, especially from what they were in, like, 2020. I mean, the Bills had those smaller, very fast receivers, and defenses have changed – maybe in part because of offenses just like the Bills. And if the Bills are going to roll out, you know, three wide receivers that are all very fast and quick with the expectation that they'll beat those defenses over the top, they might just be running into a wall. So they counterpunch with, you know, some different players. And I guess the other point I wanted to make is I think Coleman I think this discussion about Coleman would be so much different if Diggs was still a part of the Bills. I mean, I think Coleman is going to be a great replacement for Davis, but I don't expect him to be a replacement for Diggs. I don't want to say Diggs is irreplaceable.
He's very, but he is very hard to replace, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the type of player that he was for the Bills, I mean, he was excellent. I mean, his seasons in Buffalo, maybe excluding the back half of 2023, I mean, the best ever for a Bills receiver. And I don't even think that's an exaggeration. I just think that's accurate. So to expect anybody, let alone a receiver, to come in and fill his shoes, I think is unrealistic and almost unfair to the player that's coming in. But with respect to, replacing Davis, I think he'll be able to replace Davis adequately and exceed it, really.
But what's funny is they tried thanks Dan. They replaced Davis, it feels like.
Yeah.
Like if it works, they've replaced Davis. And if they don't do anything between now and the start of the season, it will feel like they haven't even tried to replace Diggs.
Well, even let's put it this way. Even if Samuel replaces Diggs and Coleman replaces Davis, a little upgrade at Davis and a little downgrade at Diggs, you are kind of static on what you were before.
Is that a little downgrade, though,
well,
or is it a massive downgrade?
It's a massive downgrade at Diggs.
Yeah.
But you would hope that you get upticks from Shakir, full year, from Kincaid, two. Yeah.
That's true. No, that's true.
I think every time we're talking about this, I think it's okay to be disappointed in what they've done while also being hopeful that what they've done, or optimistic that what they've done, is going to work for them. We had someone call, a couple callers, and I don't think it's unfair to say that they're, whether you want to say falling behind, or they're bucking the trend, or they're approaching it a different way. They've been on about Yak for years. I mean, this is now year three of being all about Yak. And if you go back 3 years ago, Brian Daboll's last season, the 13 seconds team, finished 32nd in Yak. I just don't remember caring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe you need to care now because of the way that, as Dan points out, like defenses have changed. So I just feel like this is the case a lot in the NFL. There are so many different statistics to track. You're never going to be great at everything. If your yak goes up, now your depth of target goes down. And okay, that doesn't have to be a problem. The Chiefs have lived with that kind of offense and the Patriots back with Brady. I just think if I've got a gap to fill, I'm the Bills. What are my gaps to fill? Do I have a defense on the level with the champs, the Chiefs? Not right now, but I have had that defense, and I can build that defense, and I've got a guy that runs it that can do it. Okay. Do I have the quarterback? Pretty close, but no, I don't. pretty close. Where can I make up the gaps? Do I have the offensive play caller? Not a lot to indicate that I do. If I do, great. I'm going to lose him in a year. Where can I make up the gaps? To me, when you say Kansas City has done it without receivers, I think that's where I need to make up the gaps. That's where I can do it. Both teams are going to employ an offensive line. They might have a better X's and O's guy. That means I need to have the better Jimmys and Joes.
Yeah.
And in the 13 seconds game, I think the Bills had the better Jimmys and Joes and lost it on the X's and O's.
Right. Yep.
And where are they now? We'll see. Like Joe Brady, if Joe Brady is the next great young mind, then it's going to work great. And the vision they have is going to work great. But I think you can be disappointed in what they've done without it meaning you think it's doomed, which is where I am. Like I'm disappointed it's only one receiver. And that would have been true of, let's run through it. If it had only been Ladd McConkey, I might be thinking, okay, so Mac Hollins is playing a lot?
Yeah.
And if it had only been Ricky Pearsall.
What if they had not traded and drafted Leggett, and it was just Leggett?
It was just Leggett. I would say, like, okay, like Leggett, is that it? I'm not ready to count on this rookie right away. So it's less a commentary on Coleman and more, you know.
Well, that's why trading up was appealing, too, because that was the one idea where it's, okay, you've only ended up with one guy.
But you got the one.
Look at the guy.
Right, you got the one.
If you find your way to Rome Odunze, I don't need the other guy nearly as much because I expect this dude to come right in and be my number one immediately.
Yeah. And it's possible the Bills have found a fifth-round edge rusher that's going to get, like, 24 sacks in a year and become the NFL MVP. Is it likely? No. But if they do, it'll run endlessly about how that's why you don't trade up, because you gave yourself a kick at the can and found another great player. Thanks for the phone call. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Yeah, like other receivers. If it had only been Troy Franklin, I'd feel exactly the same. Like, wow, I don't know. I don't know if that's the only guy. I mean, he was a fourth rounder. So if we do just the seconds, right, that's Coleman, McConkey. Who went after McConkey? Who's the Malachi Corley goes in the third.
Next one was Mitchell, wasn't it?
A.D. Mitchell.
He went to Indy.
There's
in the
one,
middle of the second.
See, there's one that might be a little different. Only because I saw it was Greg Cosell. So Greg Cosell on With One Bills Live, we played a couple of the clips today. And he points out, as he should, evaluations are all over the place. It's one of the reasons the draft is undefeated in terms of content, because you've got 20,000 different analysts giving opinions. Then the teams draft. And then what happens? You go and find the ones that liked the players you picked, and then you say, like, what do you think about this guy? I loved him. Every single...
You find the 8,000 of the 20,000 that loved him.
Yeah. Every single team is able to find people that loved their draft. Look at our grades. Who was my favorite pick for the Packers this year? Let's go. Let's find somebody. You can find your own analyst to tell you you did great. And that's just like the nature of the draft. So with that in mind, like if it had been A.D. Mitchell, Greg Cosell said about A.D. Mitchell, he talked to one guy that put him ahead of Odunze. There's one NFL scout who had A.D. Mitchell as receiver three. Now, not a lot of teams did, or they were scared off of it because of the attitude or the medical or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's upside there. That's prototypical X. He's not the same as Keon Coleman, but Keon Coleman doesn't have the red flags that A.D. Mitchell has, which is why some of the draft stuff happens the way that it does. Why do guys drop? Because the production's not there. The medical's not there. The
attitude's a question.
Sure,
right?
Sure. And with Keon Coleman, the Bills have, it seems, the questions are about his ability to play outside, but there's a lot of other stuff to like a bit.
Jalen Polk, by the way, also went. He was the fifth pick of the second round.
Did you know that the Washington Huskies are the first team in the modern draft era to have three receivers taken in the top 100? No one else has ever done it.
Wow. Because McMillan also went in the top 100?
He did.
Jalen McMillan.
He went to Tampa.
Yeah.
I like that pick, too.
That's pretty good.
Washington
and their quarterback got picked.
You know what's funny? Washington was fun to watch this year, and I liked all three of their receivers, and I would not want anything to do with their quarterback.
Because the receivers were so good?
They were three receivers in the top 100, and Penix has played a million snaps of college football. I just wouldn't want to do it.
He's got some juice on those throws, though. He can't move very much, though.
Yep. I have a text here from James. The thing with the Bills here is that this all did not have to happen. They'd not be in this spot if they had drafted receivers the last few years. They didn't.
Yep.
They did not have to reset, and that is also true. I mean, they drafted Shakir and Shorter.
But they never made a big investment.
No, no. And if they had done that right, then they'd be...
Like, how different would it be right now had instead of... Last year, they draft Kincaid. What if they had moved up four spots and drafted Zay Flowers? Or Jordan Addison? We'd feel more comfortable.
At receiver, but you wouldn't have a weapon at tight end.
How tight end is important distinction there. There are not many teams that can funnel their whole offense with their number one weapon being a tight end. The teams that do that successfully, especially the ones that win big, are like the teams that have the greatest tight ends of all time.
Well, maybe the Bills have one of those, and this is where...
But that's such a hype.
I know.
He could be great, and it's still... Like, the Niners don't run their offense through George Kittle.
No, I mean, not at all.
The Ravens had an elite tight end in Mark Andrews, who's not an all-time... He's not one of the best ever, but is really good. And what was the thing missing from the Ravens year after year?
Receivers.
It was they didn't have receivers.
Well, that's where it's a matchup league, and you wonder what Joe Brady thinks he can do. Do Samuel and Keon Coleman do enough to pull attention away from Kincaid for Kincaid to really eat?
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
Because if Coleman doesn't do it, then Mac Hollins is playing on the field. And that's not going to do it.
You know, I want to say this, and nobody come back at me on this. I mean, I'm on the receiver train, but I might have higher hopes for Mac Hollins than a lot of people. He did get 94 targets in a season, and as soon as they signed him, we got on, who was it? Marcus Mosher, who talks Raiders and Falcons.
Yeah.
And said, this guy can play. He's never been a part of a good offense. Look at me talking myself into Mac Hollins already.
Careful. Careful. Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk yourself into Mac Hollins. Like, if he's on the field consistently for them this year, like, that's not good.
Right. See, but here's what you're missing about Mac Hollins, Joe. I told you. I have him stashed in one of my deeper dynasty leagues.
I heard.
So
heard
if this. He pops yeah. off, do you know what I get to claim on that? Like, I get to say, I told you, everybody. You thought I was going to give up on Mac Hollins? No way.
He also, if you think Keon Coleman is a character, Mac Hollins is above that because he notoriously
hates cats,
doesn't trust cats,
okay.
Believes eating with utensils makes you soft,
okay.
Doesn't believe in eating soup in general,
okay. Red flag, red flag.
Never wear shoes away from the football field.
Okay, I can get behind everything except for the soup. Although yeah.
the article from The Athletic, The Wisdom of Mac Hollins, who hates cats, shoes, and soup.
Extendo Sports coming up, then the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, Jeremy and Joe closing things out. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up.
You like arcades?
In general?
Yeah.
Sure. Best arcade game of all time is?
Galaga.
I was going to go NBA Jam.
That's pretty good, too.
Also, the Ninja Turtles games were amazing in arcades when those came out.
I don't think I ever got to those.
Ninja Turtles.
There's a national arcade chain that rhymes with Schmaven Schmusters.
Oh, yeah?
That is introducing a new feature that will allow customers to bet on arcade games.
Interesting. I feel like this already existed. Watch this, Joe. Let me paint the picture for you. You and me standing next to each other at Schmave and Schmusters. I bet you $5 I beat you.
Right.
Looks like we already had that.
Yes. Right.
Were they prohibiting that before?
But, see, you would have run into a problem in that I have not carried cash in years.
Sure,
so I'm not going to just have... I'm not going to be able to hand you a $5 bill.
That's right. We can put it on our cards now.
Yeah, you could do that. There, you can now just do it right through the Dave and Buster's app, though, the Schmaven Buster's app that is connected to the Hot Shots basketball game.
Do me a favor and go ahead and Google Altered Beast. It's a game you are not going to remember.
Altered Beast. Let's see. Street Fighter was another one that I loved.
Altered Beast.
Had the Street Fighter game for like the original PlayStation.
Phantasy Star 4. What's the one I'm thinking of?
I don't know this
it's
one.
Not
Altered Beast
it's,
looks...
It's not Altered Beast.
Play in the show.
Yeah.
There's another game I'm thinking of that I can't remember.
Is it the Zelda game for arcade or something?
No.
Soul Calibur.
Maybe it was Altered Beast. It's the things you remember. I'm pretty sure Altered Beast was the game that started. You'd press start, and it was, a voice would say, "Rise from your grave," and then you would go fight like a side-scrolling adventure.
Oh, Dig Dug, also an incredible arcade game.
You know,
a classic. Dig Dug.
Q-Bert.
Nope, don't know it.
You don't know Q-Bert?
No.
Nope. Oh, man.
I wouldn't even know how to spell that to Google this.
Exactly how you think you spell
Q-Bert.
It.
Q-Bert?
Yeah. That's it.
There was an asterisk in the middle.
There's like a dot, yeah. We're back tomorrow. Thanks. Enjoy the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.